The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 111, Jackie Joseph Interview, part 4. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by Weaver's Department Store at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weaver's. They've got all kinds of great Mayberry items you would definitely want to take a look at and get them for the Mayberry fan in your life. weaversdepartmentstore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. Thank you so much for your support. And tonight's executive producer for episode number 111 is Ron Blankenship. So, Ron, thank you very much for your support of Two Chairs No Waiting. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host of Two Chairs No Waiting, and it is great to have you with me. For those that weren't listening to the live feed, this is the third time I've tried to start the show. So maybe we can run on through it, but... Speaking of third time, if you haven't been listening, there are three parts before this of the Jackie Joseph interview. So I encourage you to go back and listen to those episodes if you haven't done so, because it's great information. You can hear from Jackie. Now, Jackie is, if you can't remember, she's Ryan Darling Romina, Ernest T's Darling Romina, Ramona. So you definitely want to go back and listen to all the episodes up to now. Of at least of the Jackie Joseph interviews and all the interviews of all the episodes if you hadn't listened to them. So head back and listen to them all. I hope you enjoy them. But this is a fourth part of the Jackie Joseph interview. And tonight we hear a little bit. She talks a little bit about Ernest T. Bass. And then she segues into talking about Elvis. Now, yeah. Well, what you may ask is a segue. Well, a segue is podcast talk for a smooth transition from one topic to another. But Jackie does it wonderfully, going around from Elvis, Ernest T to Elvis, and then goes into talking about her career as a magician's assistant. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. And without any more talk from me, because it's a fairly long segment of this interview, we're going to go straight into it. So here's Jackie. We'll tell you, we were opening it up as part of the discussion so that people in the audience could ask questions as well. So we're in a big room there on the ship, and there's a lot of people in the audience, and we had mics so that people could be asked or could be allowed to ask questions to Jackie up on the stage. So we start off, I believe, with a question from the audience. So let's go ahead and hear that.
Yeah, if you have a question, just raise your hand. We got a mic so that we can hear it and everybody can hear the question.
How did you get started? What was your first experience in show business?
A lot of times young people come to me and say, how do you be an actress? And I say, well, first of all, be prepared. Go to school. Just go to college. Because once you're starting to get roles, you'll know what on earth is happening around you, you know, to be aware of the world and just be ready so that when opportunity comes, talent is ready. I luckily started in children's theater just for fun. I tagged along with some of my girlfriends to a place called the Young Actors Company, and the nice lady teacher let me participate, she asked if I could join the company, but of course there was a fee, so I couldn't. But then my mother was working in a liquor store, and so she used to shove a bottle up her sleeve and give it to the acting teacher. So I guess that's how I started. Then I went to college, and luckily there was something called the drunkard in Los Angeles. It was something that played for 36 years or something, and I went into that. I started as Mad Agnes, you know, which is someone who's crazy. You know, she sings, "Why do they call me Agnes when Dottie is my name?" or something. But then I grew up to be the heroine, and so you got long curls, and it was great fun. And out of college, just to answer your question, I was doing a show, a musical of Henry VIII and all his wives, and Jim Coburn played Henry VIII, and I played Anne Boleyn. And of course, I died at the end of the first act, so then I had to take my hair off and be in the chorus, which is okay. But you just do almost anything as long as it's not untoward. I don't, you know what that means.
We've got another question, I believe.
Jackie, you've been a blessing to so many people. You had a great career. You got to do so many different things. The Andy Griffith Show, a lot of people comment that Howard Morris is so well remembered for his role, and he was only in five shows. It's our understanding that because of his popularity, he would have dominated the shows too much if he'd have been in too many Andy Griffith shows. Is that one of the reasons he didn't appear in so many?
Do you think so?
Because he was such a strong character.
I think he was unforgettable. All I knew is that they thought he was funny. When I was there, they thought he was just crazy. Of course, if you've ever met him, he was just crazy. But also, he had a very brilliant side, brilliant, smart, and long. He had a lot of his best of his career when he was a very young man. So I think as you get older and you're not clamored over, there's these other people that you get maybe just a little bitter and things like that. But so he had that side, and he had his loving and appreciation side, and you know, we're just lucky we had him.
Okay, Sharon has a question for you.
I would love it if you would share what you had told us last night about you being in the movie with Elvis Presley.
Oh my, yes, I had an Elvis moment, and and you know, I was just a little too old, and working at night all the time and going to school all the time, so I couldn't just be a basic fan. I was kind of somewhere just a little too late for Sinatra, maybe a little early for Elvis, but I was doing King Creole, playing a little part. There was a scene in a great dime store where a lot of people were buying their five and dimes. I was selling teddy bears, and Elvis was singing a song about bears, I do believe. And he and his gang came strumming into the five and dime like everybody does, strum, strum. And then at the end of the scene, the director said, "Okay, everybody can clear the set." And I started to leave my little cul-de-sac of a booth that I was in, and Elvis was at the end blocking my way. And so I started just being very casual and thinking that I should say hello or something like that. And suddenly he brought up his guitar, and he just started to sing. And so he was singing a ballad at me. And in my head, I'm thinking, he's singing at me. He's singing at me. What do I say? You know, I've got to say something. So I had my sentence ready when he finally stopped. And I said, "You know, you're really very good at ballads." He had only done rock and roll. And I said, "Why don't you do an album with the soft songs?" And he said, "You think so?" He said, "You know, the Colonel and I were just talking about doing some gospel recordings." And I said, "Oh, well, that should go over really well." And we're just having this matter-of-fact conversation with this giant star. And it's before he got too giant. He was really just a sweet boy, but maybe had got a little wild reputation by then. And after we chatted a little bit, and I'm giving him directions on his career, he said, "You know, a bunch of friends of mine over there, we're having a party after the shoot today. Do you want to come?" And I said, "Well, I do have other plans, and I thank you so much for asking. What was I thinking? So anyway, I was a good girl, but it was a moment I never forget.
Anybody else have questions? Raise your hand if you have a question.
All the women in here are agreeing. What were you thinking? I can see everyone.
Yeah.
They're all gasping when you said no. I heard that.
Well, I didn't want to be one of those girls, you know. Couldn't do it.
Hey, Jackie was also in, it's called Alakazam the Great.
Oh, my gosh. That also just had a 50th anniversary at the Magic Castle. And anybody been to the Magic Castle? And it's in Hollywood, and it's like the main magician's place. It's very elegant, and like libraries open, and pianos play by themselves. And the great magicians really hang out there. And but before there was a Magic Castle, in 1960, a little bit after I first got married, there was just a regular casting call for magician's assistants. And so I went. And I got the job, and so it was two girls, and then a TV show on CBS called The Magic Land of Alakazam. And it was a morning show. It was the first magic show for CBS on a Saturday morning. And they had a live audience, and the funny part about me and the other girl, we definitely never could say a word. Because if you didn't speak, you were like a background player, and you could get $40 a week instead of getting an acting contract, actor salary. But that was okay for me. I thought it was great. And, you know, I got cut in half. I was the legs going, ooh, you know. And, you know, you get in little boxes and, you know, just about squish yourself. And they're illusions. They're very serious at magic shows, you know. You know that whenever they would do a part that we were not involved in rehearsal, we had to stand with our back to the rehearsal. So we wouldn't...
So you wouldn't know how it worked.
We didn't know. So we wouldn't, like, call everybody and say, you'll never know how this... you know, like, that was all we had to do, is tell how magic tricks work. I just wanted my $40. I think I told you that once I was doing a trick, and there's something called a switch. Like, the magician was Mark Wilson, and his wife was the enchanted Narni Darnell, very pretty. And she would, like, have a harem costume on, and he was going to levitate her. But just before the levitation, she slips behind a screen, and I get on the secret levitation thing. Oh, no, there was no thing. I just levitated. I don't want to spoil it for everybody. But, you know, and so you go way up into the rafters of CBS, and you're just way up there hanging. And then they finish the trick, and Nani comes out through the audience, and everyone goes, oh, and then they finish the show, and then they went to lunch. And I was still way up. And, you know, you're not really very secure in what you're resting on. And so you couldn't go, excuse me. You know, so I would be up there going, hello. And then I thought, well, I'll wait till they're missing me. Someone will think about it. But it was an odd feeling, though.
Oh, yeah, that would be a very helpless feeling.
It was, but that was my magic part of my career.
Can't you just see Jackie stuck up there in the rafters? Wow. I didn't know this about her. I didn't know about her being in the magic assistant business. And she worked with Mark Wilson. And Mark Wilson's he's a famous magician if you follow magic. He has books out. I've got one of his books, actually. So Floyd is, some of you may know, when I'm doing Floyd, I do magic tricks. I do a vanishing bandana trick. And if you've never seen it, I won't tell you about it because it's a fun one, but it's a lot of fun. So he's really where I found out about some of this stuff as well. So Anyway, I hope you guys are enjoying this. Jackie just shared all kinds of stuff with us. And in the coming episode, we got one left. Let's see, we're going to talk about, in that, we're going to talk some about, she was on the Cheyenne Social Club with Henry Fonda and Jimmy Stewart. And you guys will hear about that. And she was a writer. She wrote television shows. She wrote those. She talks about being friends with some of the other cast members and how that went. And some of the other things about her. And that'll be our wrap-up of our Jackie Joseph interview from the cruise. And I hope you guys are enjoying it even half as much as I've enjoyed bringing it to you and being there on the ship with her and being able to have the opportunity to ask her questions about her career, which is just so vast, as you've seen, going into our fifth episode about it. You've seen just all the different shows and things that she's been a part of. And Jackie's just such a sweet, wonderful lady, and I'm just so privileged to have been able to spend that time with her asking questions. So, folks, I would love to hear from you because we're coming up on our last episode next week, of our interview with Jackie. I'd love to hear from you guys. I'd love to hear your comments, your thoughts, things that you might have experienced and meeting Jackie at different events. If you have any of those things or any other questions about the Andy Griffith Show, feel free to write me at floyd@mayberry.com. Or better yet, you can call me at 888-684-8415 and leave a voicemail because I know I would love to hear from you. And I'm sure our audience of listeners here, they would all like to hear your voice rather than just mine all the time. So, give me a call, or you can just drop by the twochairsnowaiting.com website and leave messages there, or you can go to facebook.com/twochairs. Any of those ways will get it to me. And, folks, I'd love to hear from you. Anyway, until next week, folks, this is Two Chairs No Waiting, and we'll see you then. Bye, guys.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.